Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for November 5th, 2007, episode 49. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast. My name is Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
And as always, we are coming at you from Houston, Texas.
That's right. Tonight, we are in a data blackout.
That's right. No modems.
Because my cable's out. No TV. Yeah. No internet. No online gaming.
Thank you, Comcast.
Comcast, why do you suck so bad?
You gotta stop with those torrents, man. They're gonna keep shutting you off.
I tell you what, this has really throttled back my torrents because I have not even a single bit.
See? They do. They throttle it. Can't you tell?
Right.
You get nothing.
Man.
Nothing.
I gotta hand it to them. When they stop it, they really put their foot down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all right. I'll just write them a check late.
All right. So this week, what are we talking about?
This week, we are apologizing to all the Windows users out there because we have not talked about any Windows or Microsoft stuff in so long. Yeah. And I don't know, that's almost an issue in itself of why is there never any good Microsoft news? You know, I think we use a lot of Windows.
Oh, yeah.
Probably me more than you, but it's...
Yeah, but I use it every day still.
So, I mean, we use a lot of Windows. Mm-hmm. And if you look back through or listen through the podcast, you're like, God, these guys are always talking about Apple this, Apple that, Mac, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But and it's really not on purpose. It's just you're looking through the tech news and there's not Microsoft tech news out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Vista came and kind of went nowhere.
Yeah.
So Apple, you know, the thing about Apple is that they're always throwing these gadgets out. They're a hardware company.
Sure.
So there's always one little doodad that they're throwing out or some piece of software that goes on the doodad.
Right.
So... They're kind of good at always being in the news.
Well, Microsoft, you know, they have their big conference every year, whatever it's called. WinHack, is that what it is? I don't know.
I don't even pretend to know the answer.
Anyway, they kind of do their projections for the year, and that's where they do all their big announcements. They've always been very kind of forthcoming about what their plans are. They won't ever give you actual release dates for those items, but no, you kind of know what they're doing for the year. I think the only exception to that is like the 360 and the Zune, where they kind of keep a tight fist on that stuff. The Zune, because, well, they know nobody cares about it. So.
Yes. But, yeah, so we wanted just this week to make a deep, concerned, struggling effort to try to keep it an all-Microsoft podcast for you Microsoft and Windows people out there. So we are not going to dive into any Apple news or Linux news.
As much as we want to.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, we don't.
Yeah, it's fine. But we actually did scrape up some Windows stuff this week. So without malice, we will cover this stuff that I found. And and Joe will nod off as I'm talking about it. So I guess, I was thinking about this weekend. It's like, why is there not any Windows news?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had this giant arrival of the Titanic of Vista, and then no one really likes Vista.
Mm-hmm.
So because it didn't stick, and people are still using XP, there isn't all of these, I guess, news chunks flowing down the wire of this new thing's for Vista, and now Vista does this, and the new patch for Vista, and blah, 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 and the new game for Vista. And, I mean, if it had been easily adopted and well thought of, and everyone was so in love with it, basically like the way people are treating Leopard now.
Yeah.
Then I think there would be a lot more Vista news.
Yeah. Well, and they're kind of going all different directions right now. It's like the up until Vista came out, there was news like crazy about Vista. What is it gonna have? When's it coming out? What's it gonna break? And then it came out, and then like you know, they have a small team of engineers working on Service Pack 1, and then everybody else is going out, okay, we got home server, we've got, you know, the new version of Windows Server, and we've got Xbox 360, and we've got the Microsoft Ads system, and we've got Windows Live, and they're really spreading themselves out more than ever. I mean, they've always been diverse, but I think that in and of itself kind of lends it to not really having much to talk about.
Well, and I think...
Which doesn't really make sense because they have so much going on, but there's just nothing happening in any of those areas yet.
Yeah, and it seemed like there was a good, like you're saying, there was a good buzz
right
before the before the rollout, and then it arrived, people started to buy it, and then people really weren't crazy about it. I mean, some people love it, and I mean, you had it for a long time, and
well, and I, you know, to be honest, I was really looking forward to it. I was like, oh, finally, they're going to make it look good, and it's going to be functional, and I was just really underwhelmed with all the glitz of it all. You know, I had already started to use a Mac for a while. So, I, you know, I had that appreciation. Because, believe it or not, I haven't been a Mac user for that long. You know, just, I guess, a year and a half now. Maybe a little more. And, you know, I like Windows. You know, as much as I tout Apple, I really do like Windows. And I think XP especially has been a great, solid system, especially since Service Pack 2. But it's just, it hasn't delivered anything amazingly new.
Right. To me, XP Home is one of the best things. Well, let me qualify this. XP Home with Service Pack 2 is one of the best things that has happened to the computer industry, not just for the industry itself, but all the tertiary things like PC gaming and the whole DirectX and... printer support, and there's just been so many good things that have come of it. And I mean, Microsoft right now, they're kind of their own worst enemy because XP is so entrenched.
Right.
And they're like, no, 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 Vista's better. And you're like, and yeah, right. You know, what's better than the cheeseburger I'm eating?
Right.
You know, not couldn't be anything because this is great.
Yeah.
But, and the other, I guess the other stickler, and I'm not hating on Microsoft because but the other stickler is that, now they're kind of like, well, Vista's here, and we'll be seeing you soon. And you just got this feeling like, well, everyone loves XP, and we did great with that, but eventually we're going to turn it off.
Yeah.
And you will see the light, and you, you'll come into the fold.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll be here waiting for you. You know, and you kind of get that sense that they're just sort of smiling and patronizing us and just biding their time.
Right.
And I mean, they've already picked the direction that the whole world is going to have to go, which is Vista. And the rest of us are just going to become like the, you know, the post-apocalyptic refugees, you know, smuggling old copies of XP know, around because that's what we want to use. But so I don't know. I do think Vista eventually will be where XP is now.
Yeah.
You know, I think it will be good. I think it'll be fully functional. It'll work with games. They'll have enough driver support, and it'll look nice. But
yeah, you know, I think the driver support is really a key issue, because I think that's really what a lot of people blamed a lot of Vista's problems, saying it was a problem with Vista itself. And I'm really starting to believe that it was actually just bad drivers. Because there was a lot of problems with ATI and NVIDIA graphics cards, and people were saying, you know, that my games aren't running well, Vista sucks, you know. There's a tendency to blame problems on Microsoft, even though more than likely it's a driver or it's a third-party app that you've loaded that's done something crazy.
Right. But, I mean, if the drivers didn't make it into the OS or the drivers aren't well integrated, is that the... Is that the hardware developer's fault, or is that Microsoft's fault, or some combination?
I think it's absolutely the hardware maker's fault, because they had a long time to make the drivers. I mean, from a driver development standpoint, it's my understanding that Vista really didn't change at least 6 months from when it was, you know, locked down. And it was locked down for, you know, a couple months before it was even released. Why couldn't they have something decent ready for that? They just didn't. It just didn't happen.
Right. And I wonder, too, if maybe the new DirectX stuff was harder.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, who knows?
But, I mean, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that Microsoft, who it's in their best interest for it to work as well as it can on everything.
Right.
And who has billions of dollars and, you know, the most well-trained and the largest engineering software development group, I think, in the country.
So the real tragedy there is, I mean, you know, one person's tragedy is another person's triumph. And the triumph was for, like, Ubuntu.
Oh, yeah.
Whose driver support is really getting good
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
At the same time that, you know, Vista driver support was really suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, some of the latest Ubuntu releases have had amazing driver, like Wi-Fi and,
right.
you know, like even laptop Wi-Fi.
Stuff that took, like, recompiling the kernel before just works.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's just... even things that you would think, oh man, that's not going to work on Linux. It's right. like, wow, it works on Linux. What yeah. what is happening? You know,
yeah.
and I don't think Linux is right for, you know, it's we're not to the grandma stage where grandmas
yeah.
can use it,
yeah.
but it is getting better. But so let's move on and talk about some of the things we picked out this week. Some of the things that I forced Joe to
that's right.
accept on our list of things that we were going to talk about. First up, Microsoft turns to TV to push the Zune. So they're throwing a lot of money.
They're still making the Zune?
They are still making the Zune.
Okay.
It's just like Vista. They're not listening to you when you say you don't like it.
Yeah.
You like it, you just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so their new thing is they're going to start doing 30 and 60 second ad spots on television to promote the Zune, because apparently advertising in print and
mm-hmm.
On the internet and the trucks of the interweb is not working to get the thing out there. So right now they're estimated at only a 2.2% market share, which is
pretty small.
Pretty bad.
Yep, that's bad.
And I think it will continue to be bad because they're new. Okay, so you remember Welcome to the Social?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the new slogan is you make it you.
What a stupid slogan.
So these guys, I feel like Bill Gates is writing these slogans. And he's overriding all of yeah. his probably brilliant ad people. And they're like, but that's horrible. And he's like, well, that's what Bill Gates wanted. So
they're really, I don't know where, I mean, even Vista's slogan, the wow starts now. They're really cheesy.
Well, wow starts now, I can almost give
it. Oh, come on.
Wow starts now is kind of cool. That's a little nugget of coolness.
No, there's no coolness there.
No, it's only because it's with Microsoft.
No.
Dude, if I took us to go to a Mexican restaurant and we ordered fajitas and they got to the table and they're all steaming, I'd be like, the wow starts now. And if you had never heard that, you'd be like, oh, that's so awesome, Ron. I can't believe you just said that. But because it's
but that's so different. I wouldn't use that. I still wouldn't use it as a slogan for my billion-dollar software.
Right. I mean, it's like at home. If like some kid sees Justin Timberlake say some catchphrase, then they start saying it. But if your dad was the first one that said it, you would never say yeah. it because that's not cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go to a Mexican restaurant named Papacito's, right? Yeah, sure. It's kind of a ridiculous name, but they have good food. But I would not buy software called Papacito.
You bought CyberDuck.
I didn't buy it. I downloaded it for free. All if right. it was named it, I probably would not download it if I had to pay for it.
So anyway, whether you like...
No, but so back to the Zune. I actually really like the new Zune software. Having looked at it, and if you compare that software to the new iPod software, not the Touch or the iPhone, but the Classic,
yeah.
I like it better. I think it looks better. I think it's easier to use. I like the new shape of the new versions. It's slimmed down. It's a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they're giving people who already have it the new firmware.
Yeah.
Which Apple could do, but they won't because that's just the way they are with their devices.
Right.
And it's one of the things I don't... Well, we're not talking about Apple, but... I give big props to Microsoft for that. That's a great move, and it's a great way to set yourself apart.
Right. I think the Zune, if it was not in the shadow of the iPod, they would be doing better than Creative and
mm-hmm. oh, yeah,
the
absolutely.
Other people who are doing this right now.
Absolutely. I agree.
Because they are leaning towards a feature-rich device... With wireless.
Yeah.
And now...
Wireless syncing, I think, is pretty cool, too.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's been said before, the whole magic of iPod is all about iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, without yeah. iTunes, yeah. iPod is just a hard drive.
Yeah. They also rewrote the Zune software. It's no longer based on Windows Media. It's been rewritten from scratch. I haven't seen the software itself, but it's supposed to be quite a bit nicer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really think it's... Where they're missing the boat on the Zune... is they need to undercut the iPod prices. They're right. priced exactly the same. Drop it $20 and they would sell better, right. I think.
And I mean, you can do a loss lead on the stuff and just pretty much...
Oh, yeah, look at the 360.
Eat it. I mean,
the Xbox gaming division just made money for the first time.
Right.
This back from, you know,
And think about how
2001 when they first came out.
I mean, think about how many Xboxes that is, yeah, and how much money they ate.
Yeah.
Now, if you just added $20 worth of songs, and you gave pretty much every time you buy a Zune, you get like, say, $20, $30, $50 worth of music.
Right. Or give them a free month of the subscription service where you can just download any song you want.
Or download anything you want up to $50 worth.
Right.
You know, and I mean, now you got a thing that you can have music on it.
Yeah.
And I think that would help people get into it. But the problem is the store is just not good.
Well, it's the typical Microsoft method where they just copy it and make it just good enough. But that doesn't work here because they're not the leader.
Right.
You know, it didn't work on the Xbox. The original Xbox didn't sell very well. I mean, I had one, but it didn't sell very well because they weren't the leader. Mm-hmm. You can do that if you're the leader. You can copy and make it just good enough.
Well, the other thing that's not happening is that iTunes has a piece of all of it. You know,
right.
It's not like the HD DVD and the Blu-ray thing where, okay, Sony's on the Blu-ray and, you know, these other, you know, movie picture studios are on this other format. Mm-hmm. And so you can have half of it, but you can deny the other person the win, you know, the way Sony kind of is with the Blu-ray right now.
Yeah.
But that's not really the case with iTunes. I mean, he has a good selection of a lot of stuff.
Except for Universal, for some reason, they decided that they wanted to leave.
Yeah, there's always some people. But a lot of people, there were some media release this week of, like, a lot of the major artists are coming out with their own thing.
Right.
And going online and doing self-publishing. And
I
don't know.
It's pretty cool. So,
moving on.
There's no more Pooh Brown either.
Oh, there's no more Pooh Browns?
Yeah, they got rid of the Pooh Brown.
Man.
So buy it now, it's going to be a collector.
I don't know, man.
Collector for my butt.
That thing. Whatever. Okay, so the next story. Top 10 least known features of Windows Server 2008. I know you're just
Excited. With that. No, I like Windows Server. It's a pretty nice, I mean, it's powerful. It's got a lot to it. I just don't use it enough to really be able to appreciate it.
I'm not gonna read.
So hit me.
I'm not gonna go through all 10 of these because that would just be so annoying. And
You should read them word for word, including the punctuation.
Okay, I'm not. I'm
right
not
parentheses
doing that.
MMC. Right parentheses. Period. Go ahead. Sorry.
So they say it's supposed to be a lot faster network wise. That was like the most important thing.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of critical on a server.
There are new deployment tools, group policy improvements, including you can put comments in the policy like,
for
this policy, this is what this is supposed to achieve.
Right, instead of having to read the tea leaves on what the person did ahead of you.
Right, like, what was this all about?
Yeah.
There's a database for the group policy, so you don't have to do a manual tracking of the policies. You can just easily search and change stuff. Active Directory rights management services, they're going to upgrade that. Let's see what else. Oh, the Windows Remote Shell, which is an advanced version of the terminal services that, quote, allows connections to many remote computers at a time, all from a single console.
So you don't just have to do one at a time anymore.
Right, so now you can reach out, change from one
spot.
Very
nice.
So it sounds like they're giving you some... Unlike Vista, they're giving you some reasons to go to Windows Server 2008. Unfortunately, it's always one of those things where, we're not going to be the first one to guinea pig that.
Well, I mean, moving to the new version of Server, I mean, that's people are just now still moving to 2003.
Right.
But
so, anyways, looks like some good stuff there.
Good. Glad to see that they're moving ahead. That was kind of delayed quite a bit too, along with Vista. I mean, it's been a year since Vista's out.
And right.
I think their plan is to have those kind of be co-released from now on, service pack-wise especially. Like, it'll be one service pack for all of them, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I heard, I don't have the notes for this, but I heard there was a thing that said, where was that? It was on Dig or some site, were saying that if you spoofed something with Genuine Advantage, you could get the SP1 for Vista now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there was some sort of hack to, like, get it
nice.
Now. Because Lord knows we don't want you patching your stuff before we say it's all
right. Yeah, you know, that's not acceptable. Right. It's not the correct Tuesday of the month yet.
Exactly. The other thing I saw over on the Vista team official blog, which I really hadn't really ever looked at until I was just so desperate for Microsoft news, I went and looked at this. Just in the past few days, I think 3 days ago, they have now relaxed the restrictions on the license for the Home Basic, Home Premium, Business, and Ultimate.
Okay.
And so here's the key thing. It says, you may uninstall the software and install it on another device for your use. So this was bad
right.
before.
Right. Like, yeah, you couldn't. You were pretty locked down.
Right. So this seems like, and there's actually a link in this developer's post back to one of the earlier posts about licensing
mm-hmm.
and just a giant mountain of comments about, this is broken. I can't believe you guys did this. We're having so many problems. Yeah. I just changed out my graphics card. Why do I have to revalidate? Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hundreds of angry, disappointed people.
Angry admins?
Yeah, pretty much. They're one or the other, and probably both.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was were home,
right.
home PC.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure.
But the thing was, it's just like, that seems, according to this developer, that's like, okay, we listen to you. We mm-hmm. realize this is, you know, creating an undue burden.
That's good.
For home developers. And the other thing is, I said, they were enjoying the PC enthusiasts' input mm-hmm. based on, oh, I just bought the latest and greatest GeForce 10,000 MX, you know,
right.
rad, you know, card, and now I can only see black and white on my monitor, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they like having those cutting edge PC guys who are always upgrading some mm-hmm. chunk of their system,
mm-hmm.
you know, come back and tell them this is broken, this is broken, this is broken. So that's
nice.
That's valuable for them. Now, and for the old model of the license, for them to kind of screw those guys and say, mm-hmm. oh, well, you changed something, so now your license is broken. We're going to turn off your yeah. operating system. I mean, that wasn't doing them any good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's kind of a good thing. And
I agree. Yeah, that's great.
I think hopefully it'll just make it easier for folks to, you know, upgrade chunks mm-hmm. or, you know, reinstall their one copy.
Yeah.
And I actually read through some of the license before I passed out today. And there's a lot of stuff in there that's kind of standard. Basically, you can transfer it one time to another user. Like you could sell your PC with the OS intact.
Okay.
And they're just saying, look, if you want to install it on a new box, you need to like get rid of it on the old one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have to deactivate ahead of time.
Yeah, I'd be curious how that actually works out. If it's a phone call, if it's just deactivate, if it's you activate on the new one and it deactivates the old, you know, right. whatever that is.
There is a thing in there, too, about it's only supposed to be on a max of two processors.
Hmm.
So
I wonder how that affects like a quad core system.
I don't
know. If it's two physical processors.
It might be have two physical.
So if you have two dual core.
That's probably fine.
Probably okay.
Right. But I think they're starting to have to add language because of all the virtualization and stuff that
right.
exists out there. So,
right.
But anyway, so that was good news. We'll have a link to that in our show notes.
Yes, we will.
And then the last thing was Microsoft is announcing a new unified communication platform. And basically, there's kind of a tour on their site. I'll have the link to that also. But what they're kind of selling is this idea of, you know, a lady in her office sends an IM to a guy
mm-hmm.
who gets off of an airplane and uses his cell phone to have the IM read to him by the computer. And then he speaks back like a phrase that says, connect me to Mary, the lady who IM'd
okay.
him. So now her phone rings and she picks up and now he's talking to her. Hey, I just got your IM, blah, 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 blah. Let's do this.
Uh-huh.
So then she hangs up with that guy. And on the other side of the world, she starts sending an email. And then the email, there's like all these workflow things that are happening. So you can collaborate and do stuff more real time. And it's just sort of the integration of voice, enhanced presence. So like mm-hmm. if I want to have like the camera on my laptop where I want to do like a quick kind of teleconference
mm-hmm.
so that IM email, voicemail, all of it's integrated and it's all on your desktop so that you can see it all the time.
Nice.
To just sort of keep all the people always connected. Now, you and I could see places for that to be abused by, by management and
right.
by coworkers because
right.
sometimes I don't want to be found.
Yeah.
But watching their little walkthrough, their concept of, you know, how good Microsoft can make your life and how productive you can be, it's compelling. It's like, wow, that would be sweet. You know, I would like to be in that even for a little while, I would hate to set it up.
Yeah. So is this like a software package, or is this an entire platform including hardware, or what's the deal with this?
The stuff with this is like Office Communication Server 2007.
Okay.
And Office Communicator 2007.
Okay.
Which works with the Live and Exchange and Outlook. And so basically they're saying you need to buy four or five chunks.
But they'll all work together.
But they will eventually all do this integrated thing for you. And really, it's just basically IM on crack that works with phones and voice commands and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So you could right-click on someone in your IM list and share documents on the screen at the same time. And then your face could pop up because of your webcam. And you can add more people into that meeting and just kind of come and go virtually all the time.
See, I could see that being pretty useful. I mean... If every monitor in the office had a webcam attached to it or built in, and then you had a service like this where you can just quick connect to somebody, you don't have to necessarily go walk over to that building and you know, have a little conference. You can just quick connect, say, hey, I mean, and doing that with a visual thing where you can show them a part, you can show them a circuit board you're working on,
right?
Whatever, versus a phone call, which it's always hard to explain stuff over the phone.
Yeah.
Or you can send them an image of the part and then be talking to them while you're looking at it and pointing things out.
And the other examples they had were some more IT-specific stuff. And this is what kind of caught my attention and kind of woke me back up. They had a case where HR calls the IT manager and says, we've been contacted by lawyers that says there's possibly a legal issue between these two departments contacting each other in our company. So we want all the emails over the past 12 months between this department and that department. So along with this communications platform and this sort of the unified stuff they're saying now is you could quickly search across multiple email servers, find every applicable email, and with just a couple of clicks, put every one of those emails on a SharePoint and then shoot that link to HR so that the HR people can then click through the emails and find the ones that the lawyer people want to know about or start trying to ask you to delete them.
Right.
So that was sweet. And then the last example was the guy who's on vacation, who's the sysadmin type guy who's watching CNN, and suddenly he sees that there's some big worm that's broken out. And then in his inbox, he sees that his firewall, which is connected to this, you know, antivirus service, has already blocked it. And he gets a notification that, you know, your thing caught 432 instances of this worm.
Nice.
And he can actually look through the blocked emails and see that the filter isn't identifying things mistakenly. So it looked like there was a lot of good tools that a lot of people would be interested in. So that's always been kind of the thing of like Microsoft. It's they make something that only the manager cares about.
Right.
Like a project, you know, or they make, you know, the email server, or they make the stuff that the secretary cares about, like, you know, the new Word ribbon interface or something like that. But this stuff was more, we can help everybody in your whole organization achieve everything because we're Microsoft.
So, and I mean, there's a lot of very cool features in, say, like Outlook that probably 0.5% of the people use.
Yes.
Are these new communication features, are these easy to access? Could you get a feel for that from what you've seen? I mean, are they buried, or are they kind of right there on the surface?
It's pretty much like your IM list is there. You're like right-clicking on people. See, a lot of it is very contacts-based.
Right.
And your contacts get synced.
Okay.
So pretty much you can just right-click on somebody, and you choose real-time voice and video, just a voice, just an IM, just an email. I mean, you control the level of how deep you want to communicate and with how many. Like if you and I are talking, we're like, hey, we need to roll Bob into this conversation. Click, 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 bam, Bob pops up on your screen. Hey guys, what's up? I mean, that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, going back to your point on the Windows, I think a lot of it is training. I don't use all of Outlook because there's a lot there that I don't need. But
people don't want to add stuff. If you have to go to training, nobody's going to use it.
Because that's bloat.
Right.
Right. So this looked not only powerful, but you know, it was the butcher knife in the kitchen. Yeah. I mean, you could use it to open the bag. Mm-hmm. You can use it to cut the chicken. I mean, it was stuff that was going to be useful for multiple things.
Because I think most people would look at this as like extra. You know, it's not like they're going to take training for Excel.
Right.
Or, you know, something else, Project or whatever.
Yeah.
Visual Studio. It's so they wouldn't take the effort to learn it unless it's easy from the beginning.
Yeah, I think if you didn't send people to training just to see the scope that it can have, it would be a hard sell because it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
And then if you roll it out and then people don't use it, then that's a shame.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's
I guess you could give a demo, you know.
Right.
Give a quick demo, but then you got to get people to come to the demo. Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe people that are already deep into Outlook or already deep into other, you know, Windows communication stuff will be into it because they're like, this would be the next step. So I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it. But it did look intriguing, and it was one of the more interesting things I've seen Microsoft talk about in a while. So
the other Microsoft news I wanted to talk about is coming out January, February, Microsoft Office 2008 for the Mac.
Oh man.
Okay, no, I didn't really want to talk about that.
Yay, I guess. I don't know. I tell you what, man, other than work, I've gotten away from using Office. I mean, Google Docs, I know I keep saying this every third episode, but Google Docs is all I need at home. And at work, I use Office because it's already there. Mm-hmm. So, whatever.
But the only reason I'm excited about it is because the new version of Entourage is going to actually be Exchange compliant instead of being kind of hacked in like it is right now. So then it's one less application I have to use in Parallels.
Right. And, I mean, as long as the Office stuff is all there and it all seamlessly integrates, then you don't need to boot camp over into Windows or Parallel it up.
Yeah, because that's really the major application I use every day in Windows right now is Outlook. Because Entourage is just kind of crappy.
So there'll be an Outlook 2008 for the Mac.
Yeah, it's called Entourage, but it's Outlook. And there is one now. It's just, it's kind of like an older version, so the code for Exchange is really old, and it doesn't tie in well to the new address book systems and some of that stuff, the calendars. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool.
I just had to get some Apple news in there.
I know, man. You just couldn't let it go, man. Yeah. You just couldn't let us have you just couldn't let the Windows people have a podcast all to themselves.
It is. It's Microsoft.
Yeah.
It's Microsoft on the Mac.
Whatever.
Where they belong.
You're just trying to steal our awesome software.
Yeah. I mean, Office is amazing, and nobody's ever been able to come anything close to that. So,
yeah, it's amazing.
It looks like they're continuing forward with the kind of Office and about this, because the communication stuff feels like an extension of Microsoft Office.
Yeah, it is. It is sweet. I do like it.
I love it.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap up an almost all Microsoft Windows episode of Angry Admins.
I made it. I made it through it.
You did. You suffered, and you listened to me talk about Microsoft for the whole time. I'm so proud. You're grating your teeth. I could just hear it. Anyway, so feel free to stop by the website, angryadmins.com, if you need to drop us a line. We'll be continuing our Monday night recording sessions into the foreseeable future.
Yes.
So that's continuing, and hopefully some guests coming up in the following months.
Yeah, we're hoping to get some new people on, some interesting interviews, keep that going. That seems to be a popular thing.
Yeah, if you guys have any suggestions, feel free to drop us a line at feedback@angryadmins.com.
Yeah, if you have anything to contribute, you can send us a recording, too.
Or just send money.
Money. Please send money.
Okay, until next week, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
And we're out of here.
Stay angry. Adios.